All right, Friday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good as always. Be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. I just have to say one or two things off of the pregame. It's absolutely hysterical to watch the legal notes on The View. I guess that's not new, super new, because it was a turning point convention. That was a while back with the Nazis standing outside. And then, first of all, they lie about the Nazis' involvement at Turning Point. And then Whoopi Goldberg says, but you knew who they were, and you let them in. They were never let in at all. And then she had to go, oh, my bad. So in the middle of a legal note, she lies in the middle of the legal note. And then they had to bring another legal note out to correct Whoopi Goldberg so she could be corrected. Bold-faced lies. I'm just curious. Why is it that none of us on the right ever have to be legal noted? Because we're not lying. We're not bringing up any lies whatsoever. And just one other thing. Don't you just love where our taxpayer dollars go? That we're paying for people at the State Department to get psychotherapy because Trump won the election? You and I are paying hundreds of thousands of dollars so that State Department employees, so we're paying their salary, and then we're paying for them to go to a psychiatrist because Trump won the election. I mean, again, $36 trillion in debt, a trillion being added every 100 days, and we're paying hundreds of thousands of dollars so State Department employees can get psychotherapy on our dime. Truly unbelievable. Unbelievable. Let's do a couple stories, and then I've got a guest coming on for 15 minutes. Sheriff Richard Mack out of Arizona, constitutional sheriff. We're going to do a 15-minute interview with him. Great person, great patriot. Most of you probably have already heard of him. If you don't Google him right now, you'll see what he's all about. Great, great American. And we're going to be with him in about 6 minutes. But let's hop on to a couple things before we go. All right, Colin Rugg tweet. Just in, Elon Musk, I love this, taunts. He is thinking about buying MSNBC. Now, remember, he was taunting about buying Twitter, too, at first. I mean, wouldn't it be hysterical if he actually bought MSNBC? I mean, he could just buy MSNBC and then sell it for scraps. But I'm just saying it'd be hysterical if he bought MSNBC. And go ahead and buy the Oxygen channel, too, with Oprah Winfrey. Buying MSNBC after Comcast. Is it Oxygen? Is it Oxygen? I think it's Oxygen.
It's Oxygen. It is Oxygen. Yeah, it was OWN.
Right. There you go. OWN. That's the original title,
yeah,
right?
Okay. Yep. Oprah Winfrey Network.
Yeah, Oprah Winfrey Network. And I didn't know, too. Aaron told me this last night. MSNBC stands for Microsoft NBC. I had no idea. It's since all been bought by Comcast and is now being stripped of the studs by Comcast. They're getting rid of all of the channels that don't make them any money. They had a big meeting today, actually, where all the quote-unquote talent, like Rachel Maddow, where they had a meeting to discuss their future, which, by the way, their future isn't bright. You know, Joe and Minka, it's not bright. After Comcast announced they were putting it up for sale, how much does it cost, Musk asked. The most entertaining outcome, especially if ironic, is most likely, he followed up. The most entertaining outcome, especially if ironic, is most likely. He followed up. The comment comes as meeting was held between top talent, MSNBC, Rachel Maddow, Chris Jansen, who I never heard of, Katie Turr, where they discussed MSNBC's future, which is not bright. So I don't usually do these, but these were too funny to pass up. So Mark, we are now asserting, because maybe somebody will have to send us a legal note. Because we are now officially asserting that Mark Cuban is Rachel Maddow and Rachel Maddow is Mark Cuban. Right now, we're asserting it on the TLP.
For sure.
I mean, disprove it. I mean, look at these two people. I mean, disprove it. So to show you how they could actually appear together, so you know, because it appears that they're separate now, here's actually a merging of the two of them together. Right there. So to celebrate MSNBC, MSC being sold to scraps, being torn down and sold, we just wanted to celebrate that Mark Cuban, you know, famous MSNBC, Kamala Harris spokesperson for the Kamala Harris campaign, you know, and Rachel Maddow, we are asserting that they're the same person. Just prove it. I mean, just prove it somehow. I mean, they both like women. We know that. We know that. So, I mean, again, you're just going to have to disprove it. All right, now I got to show you this. This is just really interesting stuff. And again, I'm just flying all over the place till we get to Sheriff Mack in 3 minutes. This is a Patriots of Britain video. You're wondering where all of our money is going overseas when we send it to Ukraine? This doesn't necessarily cover to today, but this is where our money has gone to Ukraine for many years now. And then maybe it goes up to like 2021, 2022, something like that. But where is it still going, I wonder? If this is where it went before, where is it going now? Patriots of Britain video. Would you like to have a look at where our money's going in Ukraine? Play for me, Brent.
Let's go. Firstly, a villa in Miami for himself, worth $34 million. I've been to Florida and can understand the taste of the president of Ukraine. Secondly, a house in Israel for his parents on the shores of the Mediterranean Sea. It's worth $8 million. Europe, Zelensky prefers Italy. Tuscany, the best wines. By the way, one of the most expensive resorts in the country, Forte del Marmi. Houses here are worth their weight in gold. In 2017, together with his wife, he bought a villa 600 meters from the sea. According to the declaration, it was worth about $3.8 million at that time. Is that all? Not at all. From the south, we moved north. Not to Siberia, of course, but to London. Old Center. Legendary Baker Street, opposite the Sherlock Holmes Museum. There's another Zelensky residence. An apartment worth $3 million. Why? Probably to stay while visiting his owners with a report. More on that later. Apparently, the real estate was purchased through the company of his business partner, Sergei Sheffer. That's why he's called Zelensky's personal wallet in Ukraine. I almost forgot about real estate. Georgia. Not the state, the country. A new multi-story apart hotel in the city of Batumi. You might ask, Batumi? What is that? Well, take a look. It's also a seaside resort. Apartments are under renovation, but an expensive finish, panoramic windows, and views in the city and the mountains. Hint, that it was built for well-to-do people. At least five apartments here belong to Zelensky. Finally, the settlement of Levadia, an elite residential complex emperor.
Look, a magnificent view of Zelensky's house opens up. Here it is, a seashore over there.
Lions, wide staircases, and columns. On the roof, there's a luxurious terrace, a pool, and a wonderful sea view. But guys, it's Crimea. Crimea, which is currently under Russian control. Zelensky made a mistake here, and the Russians will surely figure out how to use it to their advantage. Zelensky's penthouse was purchased here in 2013, right before the so-called Crimean Spring. Nowadays, such a property could be worth about $1 million. However, a different amount is stated in his declaration. 1,384,000 hibernias, or about $164,000. Well, we don't even need to mention the real estate in Kyiv or the official residence of the head of the Republic in Konya Zaspa. Even without those, it's quite a collection of villas, houses, and apartments.
So let me just read the list real quick, and then we're going to go to Sheriff Mack. So Volodymyr Zelensky, this impoverished Winston Churchill-style leader of the authoritarian dictatorship of Ukraine that all the Democrats and right-wing Republicans call democracy, owns a penthouse in Russia, annexed Crimea. He owns a basically all of these are mansions. So houses slash mansions slash penthouses in Israel. Miami was $34 million in and of itself. Tuscany, Italy. London, Georgia, and that is the Batumi region, which is a seaside resort, and he owns five penthouses there. And then he owns, of course, the presidential mansion in Kyiv. I wonder where all of our money's going. You wonder where all those billions are going and how he went from millionaire to billionaire in the last couple of years. And this doesn't cover his most recent purchases, because we've documented on the show that he bought a seaside mansion for $3+ million in Egypt. So there you go. All right, let's bring on Sheriff Mack whenever we can. There he is. Hey, Sheriff, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, Tom. Thanks so much for having me. It's indeed a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Awesome. Great having you. Now, I just want to hop right to this, because I want everybody to know who you are. Of course, you are the founder of the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. Real quick, before I forget, because I hate to have you pop off without me telling everybody where to go. Tell everybody a little bit about the organization, where they can go to be a part of it, where they can go to donate, and what it's all about.
If you want to be part of the solution that's still peaceful and effective, you want to be a part of our CSPOA, Constitutional Sheriff's Posse. You don't have to be a former sheriff or a sheriff or a cop to be a part of this. You don't have to be that to work with your sheriff as part of his posse. So we train you to work with your sheriff, to be part of his posse, and to have a Minuteman organization of people that are ready to answer his call to help anytime he needs it. It's vital to the cause of liberty. And you can go to CSPOA, CSPOA, CSPOA.org, become a member, make a donation, and buy these books.
There you go.
The most powerful little book you can put in your pocket right here, except for the pocket constitution. This is a copy of my Supreme Court decision when I beat the Clintons at the United States Supreme Court in 1997. So folks, this is the most powerful 10th Amendment decision, the only time in U.S. history where sheriffs sued the federal government and won. Here's the case. Get boxes of them and pass them around to your local officials, especially your sheriff, county attorney, city council, county commissioners, and your governor.
Well, there you go. And you know, I want to talk to you about the power of the sheriff in just a second, because Americans have been brainwashed into believing that all the power resides in the cesspool that is Washington, D.C., that all the power resides in federal law enforcement agencies, when in comparison to a local sheriff, whether it's Sarasota County Sheriff's Sheriff's Office or your sheriff's office, were you Graham County? Was that what you were?
Graham County, Arizona.
Yes. So whether it was Graham County, Arizona, Sarasota County, where I'm sitting right now, where we have a sheriff, obviously, Kurt Hoffman is his name, who I used to work for. They're far more powerful than anybody realizes, because America has been brainwashed out of federalism, out of local control, out of local jurisdictions. Talk to us and go as long as you want. Tell us about the power of the sheriff's office and the sheriff himself.
Well, first of all, the sheriff is the only elected by, for, and of the people. We, the people, appoint the sheriff. He answers only to them. He has no other boss or supervisor. Folks, you are your sheriff's supervisor dash boss. Okay, that's it. And we, the people, appoint the sheriffs, and we, the people, have inherently all power. We delegate all political power, all governmental power comes from we, the people, and we directly hire and appoint the sheriff to work for us. Let me give you a quick example. In Tampa, Florida, during the scamdemic, Sheriff Chronister in Florida arrested Pastor Rodney Howard Brown for conducting church services. In the United States of America, this sheriff arrested Pastor Rodney Howard Brown. I've been out to his church. I've talked to him. Great man. He's forgiven the sheriff. But on the other hand, the tale of two sheriffs. We have a sheriff in New Mexico who did just the opposite.
Right.
Pastor Caleb Cooper went to Sheriff Glenn Hamilton. And he said, Sheriff, I am not going to close my church. And I'm going to tell you why. The government doesn't run my church. Jesus Christ runs our church.
That's right.
And I want to know what you are going to do to protect me and my congregation from being shut down. And Sheriff Hamilton said, if it takes me having to go to jail myself, then so be it. But I will do everything in my power to protect you and your church. Here came the state police to shut them down. They were confronted by Sheriff Hamilton. He said, just so you know, I have deputized every single person in that church. They are having church under my authority, and I would appreciate you leaving. They left, never came back, and Pastor Cooper never shut down one single minute of one single Sunday. His church stayed open the entire time. And God bless Pastor Cooper, and God bless Sheriff Hamilton, who had the courage and creativity to do what he was supposed to do. Which sheriff do you want in your county? That's what we provide at Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. Everybody, right now, go to CSPOA.org and become a part of this peaceful and effective solution. Do you want Trump to have some help doing deportation? Who knows the counties better than the sheriffs? The sheriffs have to be involved in this process.
That's right. That's right. And a lot of the like inner cities are already coming out and swearing that they're not going to help, and are actually starting to almost commit acts of treason at this point, because they're saying they're going to orchestrate active resistance using their police departments to resist Tom Holman and ICE and resist Tom Holman and the Customs and Border Patrol. So, I mean, it's getting pretty hairy with all that. If everyone would have done what you just described with the two sheriffs, just think about how different COVID would have been. Because, again, it's just a bunch of Americans. It's a sad state of affairs. It almost reminds me of Australians. Everyone just so easily yields all of their rights away. And I just want everybody to understand how strong their individual rights are, how strong their local rights are, and how strong their sheriff's office is in comparison to federal power. Because, I mean, Aaron, was it 1913 when the FBI came around? Is that the date? Yep. We didn't even have an FBI until the 1900s. We don't need, you know, and for me, we don't need an FBI. And in my opinion, all we need are joint jurisdictional task forces to handle interstate crime and everything else. We don't need an FBI that could be stripped to the studs and just put in the waste bin of history and rely on our sheriff's offices. And for me, from what I'm seeing now in blue jurisdictions, blue municipalities, I don't even want police chiefs anymore. I'd rather have sheriff's offices everywhere and sheriffs that understand that they have constitutionally appointed powers that makes them the most powerful law enforcement agent in America, even more powerful than the AG. Go ahead, Sheriff.
I'll tell you who we don't need before the FBI gets defunded and revamped, which I hope they are. Yep. But we don't need I was almost going to cuss, but I don't cuss.
Yeah, good. Good. We're on Christian Television Network.
We don't need the damnation of the IRS.
Oh yeah.
This organization is so outside American ideals. If Congress would simply simplify or get rid of the income tax, we don't need the IRS anymore. They've been cruel. The cruelty of the IRS knows no bounds. The unconstitutionality and criminality of the IRS knows no bounds. And if Congress won't get rid of them, then I want the sheriffs of this country to stand up to the IRS and tell them they're not welcome in his county anymore. They do not do anything constitutional. Random audits are unconstitutional. I say every sheriff protects his citizens from these baseless, random, unconstitutional audits from the IRS. Get rid of them.
Oh, yeah, you're totally right. And it's the same thing with the ATF, the FBI. They're really nothing more than a brown shirt Gestapo for the Democratic Party. That's really all they are. And the only people getting audited, the only people that are being charged with tax crimes, i.e. Hunter Biden, where all of his serious tax fraud charges were allowed to expire under the statute of limitations before David Weiss suddenly decided to indict him and then tried to get that sweetheart plea deal and just let him off the hook. The only people that are being sent to prison for tax violations, whether you have like Dinesh D'Souza for a campaign finance violation, whatever, the people targeted by federal agents, whether it's FBI, ATF, we've covered this story too, where we had the person who actually runs, the CEO of the Little Rock Airport, gets shot in the forehead in the middle of the night. You can look up the story, Sheriff, because the ATF, it was because they instituted that law where anybody who sold their firearm for a profit, nobody knew. It was a unilateral law. Nobody had any clue it was ever passed, because that's what the ATF is doing now. It's just like the law that Biden just did via executive order, backed up by the DOD, where they're now allowed to assassinate United States citizens using the military. But the ATF follows this airport administrator with not one crime in his past. He has no criminal record. And they follow him around because he sold like his 9mm for $100 profit. And instead of just meeting with the guy and say, hey, listen, you know, we need you to come in, which he would have done, they raid his home in the middle of the night, i.e. Mar-a-Lago, you know, i.e. Project Veritas. You know, they just raid him in the middle of the night. And the guy who's a gun owner, he doesn't know who's coming into his house in the middle of the night. So he charges out with his gun. They shoot him right in the forehead and kill the guy. You can pull up the story. I mean, it's truly unbelievable. Speaking of that, thank you. There's a pic of him right there. Just so you know, it's an absolute, I mean, that guy looks like a real threat, doesn't he? That's the guy, that's whose house you need to raid. And see, like you as a sheriff, and people don't get it, and how powerful you are, you would never have done that. You would have simply, as a community member, gone up and talked to this law-abiding citizen and enforced the law. Of course, you would never would have enforced those asinine laws anyway. But it's unconstitutional, because I've heard you talk about the Second Amendment. You couldn't be more spot on, which I want to hop right to right now. And hey, can you put your pamphlet back up? You still have your pamphlet that you had right there. So I want everybody to see that. Can you go over that court case? That had to do with Brady, right?
This was pursuant to the Brady bill.
Right.
And
go ahead.
Six sheriffs joined me in this lawsuit. I was the first one to file in the entire country, all by myself for about a month. And I thought I was going to be the Lone Ranger. I thought the federal government was just going to squash me like a pumpkin seed. But the Brady bill was the first time where Congress and the White House attempted to commandeer the office of sheriff for federal bidding. And they threatened to arrest us if we failed to comply. Folks, I'm telling you the truth. That documentation is in this booklet.
Yep.
Get this book. You've got to have this book. Or look up the case yourself. Look up Mac VUS and study the case. But I did already, and I put all the highlights in here. So I saved you a lot of time. I put all the highlights of the case right in this little booklet.
It's a very famous case. It's very easy to find. It's a very famous case. It's the only sheriff to ever defeat the federal government.
Scalia quotes the Founding Fathers and the Federalist Papers in this decision.
That's right.
It's wonderful. Get it. You're going to be grateful that you did. They're $2 each or a 3 for $5. They're easy. Pass them around and become a part of our posse.
And what was the gist of that case? What was the gist of it? Just on a brief summation.
They forced sheriffs to do federal enforcement of a gun control law. First of all, I don't do gun control. Secondly, you can't tell any sheriff in this country what to do.
Boom.
I don't work
that's right.
For you. You can't tell me what
there
to do.
There you go. That's right.
I tell you what to do.
That's right. The FBI has no jurisdiction over any sheriff. They cannot command them to do anything. That is the way that it is. So they were trying to get sheriffs to enforce unlawful violation of the Constitution, Second Amendment laws. And just real quick on the Second Amendment, I've heard you talk about the Second Amendment. Just give me 60 seconds on where you feel, because I've heard you, where you feel, should there be any gun control? Say it, go ahead.
Only against federal agents. Samuel Adams said that our peaceable citizens, that's the only founding father I ever saw that put a condition on it. 99% of the 20,000 gun control laws in this country are all unconstitutional, unlawful, and completely contrary to the Constitution.
That's right. And that's the whole thing. And people don't understand how many of their freedoms have been stolen from them. And the whole thing is, it's all very careful, orchestrated lies, and they do it in the right jurisdictions. And I've been preaching this for forever here on the podcast. What they do is they get somebody and they haul them in front of a blue judge in a blue jurisdiction with a blue appellate court, blue jury, blue grand jury, and they just institute these laws that violate the Constitution. That's what they've done with Alex Jones, Rudy Giuliani, President Trump, Steve Bannon, Peter Navarro, General Flynn. They haul them in front of Tanya Shutkin in a D.C. court and institute some sort of appellate court precedent, but it's still a violation of the Constitution, even if Tanya Shutkin and Merrick Garland and Lisa Monaco say that it isn't, because it absolutely is. And that we have the right to keep and bear arms, and that supersedes everything. It's just like we have the right to gather. We have the right to not wear a mask. Go ahead, Sheriff.
We have the right to keep and bear arms, and the federal government's only charge and only business within the Second Amendment is to guarantee it. Guarantee it. Nothing else.
That needs to be said more often. People don't. I've never even thought of that. You're absolutely correct. Their sole responsibility in the Second Amendment is not to legislate it, not to mitigate it, but to enforce it. To make sure that you and I can buy guns anytime we want. You know, no red flag laws and all that garbage.
How much ammo I have, it's none of their business what kind of gun I have.
That's exact. I 100% agree. Hey, since you're in Arizona, I got a couple more minutes with you. Since you're in Arizona, tell us a little bit about what you're seeing at the border, it doesn't have to be necessarily current, but your experiences with the border, are you still living in Arizona?
Yes, I live in Gilbert, Arizona, which is
I thought so, but I wasn't sure. So, I mean, obviously, right now you're dealing with a communist stronghold there with Katie Hobbs, and your attorney general's a disaster. I mean, it's a mess there in Arizona, where it's just open borders for everybody. Tell me where you stand, what you think about the border situation, what you've seen in the past. Go ahead.
We have a new sheriff in town, literally. He used to work for Joe Arpaio. He's a very dear friend of mine. He just got elected sheriff. He's strong on the border. He's strong on the Constitution. He's strong on protecting civil rights and the Second Amendment. And that's Jerry Sheridan. And folks, we need this.
Are you talking Maricopa County?
This is the largest sheriff's office.
Is this Maricopa? What county is this?
Yeah, Maricopa County. We have a new sheriff.
Gotcha.
And this is the fourth largest sheriff's office in the country.
Oh,
so
yeah.
the border is a mess, but we're going to fix it. But I don't believe, I'll say it again, I don't believe that's going to be too possible if we don't have the sheriffs identifying those who need to be picked up. And the sheriff is the one who knows the county better than any other person. Look, I've crawled through the drug tunnels and human trafficking tunnels along the southern border in Arizona. I've ridden the machine gun boats along the Rio Grande in McAllen, Texas. And I know what's going on there. And this is absolute treason by this administration and the others in Washington, D.C. And we have got to turn this around. Trump is going to do it, but we've got to have his back. And we've got a lot of work to do now, folks. Join us at the CSPOA. Become part of the solution. There still is a peaceful and effective solution. We've got to get behind that. We've got to come together.
All right, Sheriff, one last thing. Do you feel like, are you having sheriffs come to you with the same mindset? Do you feel like you're starting to build kind of a congregation of sheriffs with the same mindset? They can orchestrate? Because if we can get sheriff's offices, because the deal with sheriff's offices, usually, jurisdictionally speaking, geographically speaking, they're much larger than municipalities. The municipalities in large cities may have more people in them, but the geographical locations and the size of the jurisdiction for sheriff's office is much larger. So if they come together, we can cover most of the border counties if everybody would come together.
Right.
You feeling anything on that?
Right.
You getting any vibes back that maybe sheriffs are coming together?
Oh, yeah, for sure they are. And
good.
And they agree
good.
With gun controls against the law, and they agree that we need to secure the border. And the mayor of Phoenix said that she's going to fight the Trump administration.
Of course, right.
But guess what? There's a new sheriff in town. The last time I checked, Phoenix is in Maricopa County.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Well, listen, one more time, Sheriff, tell us where everybody can find you. I want to tell everybody the easiest way, because this guy is – I mean, I'm not trying to blow smoke at him. He's famous. All you got to do is put Sheriff Mac. It'll pop up. If you want any of this information, even if you forget, CSPO, AUSA, all that, the Constitutional Sheriff's Peace Association. CSPOA.
Yeah.
Even
right.
if you forget that, all you got to do is put Sheriff Mac. You'll see 1,000 videos. He's on everything. Conservative Daily. He's on everything. That's all you got to do, and you'll be able to find it. So don't worry about necessarily having to remember the acronym. It'll pop up, and then it'll send you to the acronym. I found it in 2 seconds today. So,
amen.
But anyway, okay. Sheriff, really appreciate you. Yeah. Guys like you are the future of the South. That's where our country needs to go. If we get all the sheriff's offices together and people to understand that the sheriff is more powerful than the director of the CIA, the director of the FBI, and everybody else, we're on the right track. So really appreciate you,
amen.
Sheriff. We'll have you back again. Great job. We love you. Appreciate you. Maybe I'll see you at the River Church sometime because I'm there too with Rodney R. Brown. So maybe we'll meet up. But anyway, thanks for coming on, Sheriff. Awesome. Thanks for coming on, Sheriff.
Thank you so much.
All right. Have a great season. Have a great holiday season. Bless you. All right. We're back on. All right. So let's hop right to this. I hope everybody enjoyed that. It seemed like you did. And we got 855 people live. We're also on Christian Television Network worldwide right now, worldwide. So let's hop right to it. Let's get to Trump stuff here. Ian Yeager tweet. We're all still living in the reverberations of losing Matt Gaetz. And listen, that me talking about Matt Gaetz cost me the entire show last night. As Aaron laughs. I mean, I was supposed to not talk about it for that long, but it enraged me. I'm going to be honest with you. Still simmering. Okay, I am. So I'm going to try to limit this is kind of the Trump Gaetz section of the show. I'm going to try to limit my own anger so we can get to other things outside of Gaetz. But I'm just going to say it's a huge loss. It's a huge loss. It's not 4D chess. From my understanding, it was Gaetz going to Trump. Trump didn't have anything to do with that. That's my understanding at this point. I'm hoping that Matt Gaetz will take Rubio's senatorial seat. That's what I'm hoping that will happen. Matt Gaetz, just so you know, there's some news on that. Because I was hoping that if he didn't take the Senate seat, he would just continue to be our congressman. He's a congressman out of the panhandle in Florida. I was hoping he'd continue, but he's obviously resigned from Congress, but he is the newly elected congressman too. So even though he's resigned from his seat, he could reassume his seat on January 3rd. But he's not going to do that either. So there's going to be a special election in his district. So it would appear that there are plans somewhere for Matt Gaetz, but we needed Matt Gaetz as AG. It's over. You're like, Tom, get past it. I am. I know that it's over. I'm going to put as much trust as I can in Pam Bondi. She is a good person. She is a trustworthy person. She is a fire breather to a degree. But I believe that if you weren't going to have Gaetz, because Gaetz was number one, you should have gone Ken Paxton. Ken Paxton was on War Room with Steve Bannon yesterday, and they were talking about it, and that's who Bannon wanted. And instead, we got Pam Bondi. Pam Bondi is, listen, they're scared of Pam Bondi, too. I'll just let you know. Obviously, because I have no life and you do. I'm watching all this stuff, and I'm watching all, I go over there and I watch left-tard responses to whatever Trump is doing, whether it's nominations or legislations or whatever he's doing, bills or, the, you know, whatever Trump is doing. I look at their responses to it. They're scared to death of Pam Bondi. You're like, Tom, why? She wasn't like Kamala, you know, a face like with, Sheriff Mack was talking about. He was actually doing drug interdiction, where Kamala says that she was part of prosecuting transnational criminal organizations. There's no evidence of that anywhere, but of course that's what she said. But, and she also claims to be a prosecutor. Remember we went through her prosecutorial record where she basically prosecuted like 7 cases in 7 years. Okay. So she's done absolutely nothing. Pam Bondi's different. 20 years straight. As a prosecutor, okay? So you're like, Tom, you're trying to repair the damage. No, I'm not. Matt Gaetz is a huge loss. But maybe Pam Bondi will be great. And here's the thing. I know this is going to shock all of you. Occasionally, I'm wrong. Occasionally, I'm wrong, and I have been wrong before. I've come in out here. I've come on the podcast and torched Trump. Torched him. Like, the stupidest thing I've ever seen. And he redeems himself. Not every time, but he does redeem himself. Pam Bondi's a good pick. I would have rather had Ken Paxton. And then after that, Andrew Bailey out of Missouri. But I never thought of Pam Bondi. But you know what? She was really good defending Trump and the Ukraine impeachment hoax. You can pull up those videos. She is a fire breather. She doesn't give a crap what anybody thinks. It is the kind of person that we need. But here we'll show you what we're up against. Ian Yeager tweet breaking. Senator Lisa Murkowski, who's a Democrat who calls herself a Republican. And once again, why is she not primary? Now, here's the good news. Now that we have somebody other than a Democrat running the RNC, Tom, you misstated. No, I didn't. We had Ronna Romney McDaniel. Every Romney is a Democrat. No, Tom, they are members of the Republican Party as Democrats. They legislate as Democrats. They talk like Democrats. They quack like Democrats. They fly south for the winter like Democrats. A duck is a duck. Lisa Murkowski is a Democrat. She votes almost, you know, almost, completely and totally for Democrats. So that's who she is. And she is what she said. This is the thing. Lisa Murkowski's freedom rate. It's a freedom or liberty rate.
Liberty score.
Liberty score. Get this now. Aaron just sent it to me. Her liberty score is 29%. So let's add that up. 71% of the time, she votes with Chuck Schumer and AOC.
Yeah.
And Rashida Tlaib and Ayanna Pressley and Ilhan Omar and Nancy Pelosi. I mean, just think of that. Dickie Durbin. That's who she votes with. And she calls herself a Republican. She says now that Lisa Murkowski says she won't vote to approve any president, any of President Trump's nominations, unless they are properly vetted by the Gestapo for the Democratic Party, the FBI, because she knows that the FBI is against Donald Trump. And the reason why they don't want anybody vetted by the FBI, the Trump administration, and Trump is actually paying for his own transition right now, first time in history. Is because you don't want what the FBI will do is find something. And remember, it's you find a man, you'll find the crime. That's Stalin. Remember, Stalin has a couple things. You don't investigate to see who committed the crime. You investigate a person to find the crimes they've committed. That's Joseph Stalin. As well as, it's not a matter of how many people vote, it's who counts the votes. That's also Joseph Stalin. That's Lisa Murkowski. That's who she is. She's a globalist, leftist, bourgeois elitist, disguised as a Republican. Not a very good disguise, since she only votes with us 29% of the time. And 71% of the time votes with Chuck Schumer and Tricky Dicky Durbin. So anyway, So the reason why she wants the FBI to do everybody's background checks is because they're going to try to find a crime. And by the way, just about anybody and everybody, they could find something, not necessarily a crime, but they could find something. What if they're going to pull up your tax returns and find that, you know, you said, and then what they do with tax returns is say that you lied, but you didn't. And then they claim you didn't lie when you did, i.e. Hunter Biden, depending on which party you're in. So she wants Republican nominees to be vetted by Democrats, by the Gestapo, the brown shirt Gestapo for the Democratic Party, so they could find something and then smear you. It's just like what they've done. This is what they do. Matt Gaetz, who's being investigated, you know, of course, I already went over this, but after getting all those legal notes on The View, because now, why are they doing so many now? Because they're terrified of Donald Trump. And by the way, they're terrified of Pam Bondi. You got to give credit where credit is due. They are terrified of Pam Bondi. They are. I would have rather had Matt Gaetz and then Ken Paxton and then Andrew Bailey, but they're terrified. And again, I hope she proves me wrong. And I have to come out here and just apologize for how great she is. I really do. I hope that. I hope Rubio does the same thing. I can't stand that pick. Yeah. I hate that pick. I hate it. Okay. But Rubio has been a good boy for 2 years. He has been a very good boy for 2 years, but I hate that pick. So anyway, so that's what they want to come out. And what they do, and remember Nancy Pelosi, hey Aaron, see if you can find this, see if you can find it. All you gotta do is type, whether it's YouTube or Twitter, wrap up smear Pelosi. Because that's what they do, is they say, it's like they're doing on The View right now, but they're afraid of being sued. Because the reason why everybody's afraid of being sued on network television is because Fox News, whose majority minority owner is BlackRock, caved to Dominion voting machines. Even though, I mean, how in the world are you gonna have an editorial board? How are you gonna have a show where you conduct interviews when you are gonna be held liable? You're gonna be held liable for their defamation if they defame somebody. How are you ever going to interview somebody again? But again, I digress on that. But what they want to do is wrap up, smear you. That's why she, Lisa Murkowski, an alleged Republican, wants all of these Republicans vetted by Democrats, i.e. the brown shirt Gestapo for the Democratic Party, so that the FBI can do this. Play for me.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You demonize, and then we call it the wrap-up smear. If you want to talk politics, you call it the wrap-up smear. You smear somebody with falsehoods and all the rest, and then you merchandise it. And then you write it, and they'll say, see, it's reported in the press that this, 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 and this. So they have that validation that the press reported the smear, and then it's called the wrap-up smear. Now I'm going to merchandise the press's report on the smear that we made.
See, that's what they do, and that's what they've been doing to Matt Gaetz now for a couple weeks. And by the way, how Matt Gaetz was handled was an abomination. By the incoming administration, by the Trump administration, he should have been guarded, should have been protected. I'm stealing all of this from Steve Bannon, so credit to War Room Bannon. Is they should have had somebody with him. He should have been out doing one interview after another. Instead, they sequestered the guy. Don't sequester him. Have him go out. Matt Gaetz can defend himself. Well, we all agree. He's perfectly fine with investing. I mean, you're talking about a high triple-digit IQ. He's fine. Let him out there. He can defend himself. But what they do is the wrap-up smear. They start an investigation. You could be investigated for anything. I mean, if you had police or FBI, federal agents, in your pocket, you say, you know what, just go investigate Aaron for insurance fraud. Okay, well now for the rest of his life, people like Lisa Murkowski, people like Nancy Pelosi, people like Christopher Wray, people like Biden and Harris will say Aaron was arrested. He was investigated for insurance fraud. Does that mean anything? No. It's just like we have two cops sitting in the room right now. Brett and I, we've gone to many crime scenes, and you go to a crime scene and you question everybody. You investigate everybody. So say we go to a domestic violence crime scene and I ask a question. What happened? Well, that person is being investigated for domestic violence, right? So now for the rest of their life, they were investigated for domestic violence? No. It's the same thing with Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz has been completely and totally exonerated. And I'll say this. Gary, I am dadgummit. I'm lost in Matt Gaetz again. Gosh, dog, freaking crap. Here I am again. Here's the thing. Here's the problem. Now you've only got one person then to concentrate on. Now they're going after who? Can anybody guess? The other person who's been falsely accused of a sexual crime. I don't even want to say sexual assault or rape or anything like that, but that Pete Hegseth. It's already been thoroughly investigated. It's already been. We're going to get to that in a second. We're going to get to it in a minute. But I'm just saying it's already been thoroughly investigated. He's already been completely and totally exonerated. But here it comes again. It's a wrap-up smear. Pete Hegseth has been investigated for. He's been accused of sexual battery. Okay. Does that mean anything? And by the way, how our criminal justice system works now is that the severity of the charge is what counts in the trial, not proof beyond a reasonable doubt. The severity of the charge. So somebody has to pay for it. And if it's a severe charge, the severity of the charge determines the guilt of the suspect. If somebody is accused of some sort of heinous sexual crime, then of course the person has to be found guilty of it.
Yeah.
Because it's such a heinous charge. No, it's freaking evidence, not believe every woman. And by the way, why is it that the only women that are believed are Democrats, not Republican women? Juanita Broderick claims that she was raped by Billy Clinton. I mean, and of course we have another, I just forgot her name, but Joe Biden, if you remember, throw it in the chat, and Aaron, you can yell it out to him. Aaron will find it in 2 seconds. Who was the one that accused Joe Biden of raping her? You don't believe those women, do we? You don't believe any of those women? I'm looking at the chat, but anyway, I don't see it. But anyway, so I mean, that's why is it that the only women that you believe every time are people with D's in front of their names and not ours? It's always amazing how that works. But that's how the entire criminal justice system works. That's how the eco, I don't even want to call it an ecosystem. Tara Reid, thank you, Aaron. I knew it was a famous actress's name, but I couldn't remember what it was. She's not the famous actress, but I'm just saying that's, I remembered it was that. But anyway, but that's how the entire DC cesspool, I'm not going to call it an ecosystem or a swamp because those are good things. Cesspool works is just put an allegation on somebody. Put a label on somebody. 34-time convicted felon for crimes that have never been called felonies before until they ended up in Juan Merchant's courtroom while his daughter raises money off the trial and walks away with $10 million while she raised $100 million. $600,000 of it coming from Adam Schiff, by the way. Just throwing that out there. All right, CNN Politics pick. Former Trump FBI deputy director and CNN senior law enforcement analyst Andrew McCabe. That, what? Why am I showing you this? Because who loves that Gates has been taken down? Who loves that Gates has been taken down? And who are these people pushing for? Because look at McCabe is pushing for. And I know Trump has already disavowed Rogers now. Just so you know, I'm already ahead of the game. But it shows you, who do you pay attention to? Whoever the left is suggesting would be a good appointment, run. Turn repentance. Turn 180 degrees from that person and run for your life. Get out of there. Former Trump FBI deputy director, which, by the way, Trump didn't appoint him. He was under Comey, ends up having to take the seat, him and Rod Rosenstein. And CNN, senior law enforcement analyst forced to resign and or was fired from the FBI. That's their senior analyst for law enforcement, Andrew McCabe, who was fired from the FBI for lying. That's their analyst. Great choice, guys. Said Thursday that Rogers would be a totally reasonable, logical selection. Mike Rogers for FBI director, and Trump has already said that's not going to happen. To nominate to lead the agency, pointing to his knowledge of the intelligence community and his experience at the FBI. In other words, he knows whose boots to lick and whose butts to kiss, and he knows who to cover up for. That's his experience. And that everything has been renamed. I don't have time to get into this, but everything has been renamed. Everything is inverted. When you hear somebody say they're anti-racist, i.e. Antifa, they're actually racist. Or anti-fascist, they're actually fascist. Antifa is anti-fascist. But anyway. So you see right there, if McCabe wants him, you don't want him. That means he's a deep state corrupted hack who purges themselves on a regular basis. Go to the next one for me, Brent. Lindsey Graham loves Pam Bondi. So should Pam Bondi have been picked? No. No. Well done, Mr. President. Picking Pam Bondi for Attorney General is a grand slam touchdown, hole-in-one, ace, hat trick, slam dunk, Olympic gold medal pick. She will be confirmed quickly because she deserves to be confirmed quickly. Again, you don't want to be approved by Lindsey Graham. You don't want what you do to be approved by Lindsey Graham. You want what you do to be challenged by Lindsey Graham. You want your opponent to be Lindsey Graham. You want Lindsey Graham to come up against what you do. You want Lindsey Graham to oppose what you do, not be in favor of it. And again, listen, I want to make this clear because I don't want to be running down Pam Bondi. Pam Bondi is a good prosecutor, a solid, real conservative. She is a fire breather. Okay, but The thing is, a lot of them are terrified of Pam Bondi. But what were they of Matt Gaetz? You might have been terrified of Pam Bondi like you would be like a Rottweiler. But when they saw Matt Gaetz, they saw Jason from Friday the 13th. Terrified out of their freaking mind. That's what they were actually. Or Michael Myers from Halloween. That's what they actually saw with him. Horrified. That's what you want. All right, let's go to the next one. Insurrection Barbie. So here is why Gaetz withdrew with Charlie Kirk. Play for me.
I just want to address some of the speculation. So some people say it was, you know, the House Ethics Report. Some people say that there were five immovable senators. There was so much media nonsense around it and lies about you and your character. Matt, what happened here?
There is a play that is run in Washington when they're trying to smear somebody. And, you know, they go and dredge up false, years-old allegations of the most salacious and clickbait-y flavor possible. And in this case, those allegations were coming from sources that Merrick Garland's DOJ had already deemed not credible. Like, if the things that the House Ethics Report were true, I would be under indictment and probably in a prison cell. But of course, they're false, because when you test them against other records, when you test them against other testimony, it all falls apart very quickly. But I was dealing with a politically motivated body. They didn't like me because of what I did to Kevin McCarthy. All of them were handpicked by Kevin McCarthy, and they had an axe to grind. So that was going to serve as at least enough of a basis to delay my confirmation as attorney general. And I could have answered all those questions. I could have engaged in a months-long fact battle, but we don't have months to go through that. We got to have an AG ready to go day one to implement the immigration agenda and work on the other key policy deregulatory objectives of the president.
Now, I love Matt Gaetz, but I totally disagree with the last 10 seconds of what he said right there, and so does Steve Bannon. You got to go in and fight. Yes, there was somewhere between 5 and 8, Murkowski, Collins, several others. I actually had the 5. I should have brought it. Can't remember who they are. But they, you know, obviously they were, I'm trying to remember at least, you know, a couple of them, but anyway, you know, Thune was behind there saying that he wasn't going to vote for Gaetz and all that, but there was a very specific 5, Collins, Murkowski being 2 of the 5. And there were several others. Can't remember their names right now, but anyway, so he came out of his meetings with senators, basically with Republican. Now, this is all my own opinion, basically with Republican senators telling him, you know what, Matt, it's just not going to happen. You don't have the votes. You don't listen. I'm stealing every bit of this from Steve Bannon. I think Steve Bannon knows about how to get people appointed. Mike Davis knows how to get people appointed. And this is coming from him too. You get in there and you freaking fight. What are you doing, Matt Gaetz? You're a firebrand. Yeah. Okay. We're 8 votes down. Let's get in there and win some. And if you don't, you do a recess appointment or you make him acting AG. I'd rather have Matt Gaetz acting AG for 200 plus days than nothing. Wouldn't you? And then make it almost impossible to not confirm him after he does a great job for 200 plus days. That's why can't we do this? And you make yourself look guilty, and you think it's going to do is assuage them that suddenly, because you have like basically Jeff Sessions turned yourself in and recused yourself, Aaron, you are the man. Here are the 5. Mitch McConnell said he would never vote for Matt Gaetz. Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins said they would never vote for Matt Gaetz. Mark, okay, first of all, Mark Wayne Mullen, if you name yourself Mark Wayne, okay, you're already up. Okay, you know what? Go by one freaking name, okay? Mark Wayne. Okay, Mark Wayne Mullen. Okay, and John Curtis. These people all need to be primaried out of political existence. Mark those names down. Mitch McConnell, Murkowski, Collins, Mullen, and Curtis. Write them down. Find out what state they're in. I know some of them, of course. Mitch McConnell out of Kentucky. Murkowski,
Alaska,
Collins, Maine, Mark Wayne Mullen, Aaron, see if you can find those out. Mark Wayne Mullen, John Curtis, tell me what states they're in when you can.
Curtis is Utah.
Curtis, I knew one of them's Utah. Curtis was Utah. And where is Dillweed Mark Wayne Mullen? Where does he come from?
He is Oklahoma.
Oh, there you go. So leave this up. So our Oklahoma senators, this is the game. This is the game, folks. Our Oklahoma senators are James Cuckboy Lankford, who wrote the border insecurity bill, the border filtration bill, the border, the rush to the border with all illegals bill, and call it a security bill. So you have James Cuckboy Lankford is a senator out of the one of the most red states. I don't think that Kamala Harris won a county in Oklahoma. She didn't win a county in Oklahoma. And somehow we end up with Mark Wayne Mullen and Cuckboy Lankford. You know, why do they win? Because they have name recognition. They need to be primaried into non-existence. Yeah, but then you risk because they're established. You know, they're established and they're going to easily defeat the Democrat. Well, you have you've defeated a Democrat and installed a Democrat. Why not risk it and actually run a real conservative against the Democrats in Oklahoma? It should be, again, an easy win. Why do we have to settle for lukewarm, rhino, fake Republicans like Mark Wayne Mullen and Cuckboy Lankford in Oklahoma, in one of the most red states, where Kamala Harris didn't win a freaking county? Look at it. Nothing. Look at that. She didn't win a county. And we got to settle for Cuckboy Lankford and Mark Wayne Mullen, who can't go by one name? Unbelievable. I mean, truly unfreaking believable. All right, I could stay on Gates all night, but here's the problem. Here, one more thing on Gates. Do you think that when they got their sacrificial lamb, they got their bounty, the hunters stayed the hunted, and the hunters stayed the hunters, but they're supposed to be the hunted now, and we let them be hunters for another week, and they took down Matt Gates, and you think they're going to be happy with their quarry? No, because now they're going to fixate on Pete Hegseth. And I don't know why we're not continuing to appoint. Because if you put Cash Patel, FBI director, and you put Mike Flynn, CIA director, what are they going to do with themselves? They can't focus their attention on anybody. They can't focus their ire on anybody. It's a deflection scheme. Flood the freaking zone. It's what they do with ballots every time. They have all these non-adjudicated ballots that can't be adjudicated before certification. That's their plan. Flood the zone with a bunch of illegal ballots that can't be counted between the end of the election and certification day. That's what they always do. Why can't we do what they do for victory? We don't have to lie. Flood the zone. Why is Cash Patel not the FBI? Why is he not in charge of the FBI already? Why is he not the FBI director, nominee for the FBI? Why? Why is Mike Flynn not the director of the CIA right now? Why is that not happening? And Trump is busy, and I love Trump big time. He's trying to work a peace deal. It's kind of important, but if you got nuclear war, maybe what I'm saying pales in comparison to the nuclear war that Donald Trump's trying to stop right now. Because allegedly he's meeting with both Zelensky and Putin right now on a regular basis. Alex Jones, credit source on that. But anyway, let me show you what they're doing to Pete Hegseth. So now, lo and behold, Pete Hegseth had a woman that accused him of sexually assaulting her. The same woman that they were together in a bar, went to his hotel room. She was texting her husband while she was in Pete's hotel room. Not asking for help, texting her husband what a great night she was having.
Oh, my gosh.
And then her husband went looking for her. I'm going to let Megyn Kelly tell you the entire timeline. This is a little bit of a long video. It's 5+ minutes. You got to listen to Megyn Kelly. Here's what they're accusing Pete Hegseth of. Play it for me.
Megyn, I now want your reaction to some of these accusations being thrown at my friend, Pete Hegseth. And I'm sure that I don't know if you've gotten along with him or not in the past, but I mean, he has a great reputation among many people. What do you make of this smear campaign against Pete Hegseth?
Yeah, no, I knew Pete well when I was at Fox. I'm the reason he became a Fox News contributor. He was coming on for free, and my executive producer and I went to Roger, and we said, you've got to hire this guy. He's incredible, and he did get hired. So I loved Pete, and I thought he was great. I don't recommend marrying Pete Hegseth. I'm going to be honest. Like, looking at his marital history, it's not an example of fidelity. Okay, so I'm just going to be honest and admit that up front. However, having difficulty in one's personal relationships, especially after having served two tours, which it's not uncommon for these combat vets to come back and not be able to navigate their love lives all that well, is much different than being a rapist. And this woman's story smells terribly. Now, I went through that police report line by line. I mean, I've got it right here in front of me, Charlie. It's like, you can see the amount of time I spent with this thing, with the tabs and the highlighting. And you know, your audience may know I practiced law for 10 years, was a litigator, was a trial lawyer. This woman's story smells. And if you read the media coverage about this allegation, let me tell you, you will not learn the facts that I'm about to give you. You will learn that they were together at some conference in Monterey back in 2017, October, and that she's alleging that he may have given her a date rape drug and raped her, and that he's alleging it was a consensual affair. And that later, a few years later, he paid her off to stay silent when she began to rattle his cage about a possible lawsuit against him. What you will see in this police report is that she was at a bar with him after the event. Her husband and children were down the hotel room hall. They were there too. She was with her husband and children, two of them. And she was at this bar with Pete after the event at which he spoke. She was part of the Republican Women's Conference. That others said she was flirting with him. She was touching his leg, etc., flirting with him. That he seemed to be more focused on a different woman, not this one. That Pete would later tell the police he never even had it as a thought in his mind that he would hook up with this woman, who apparently he didn't have any interest in. But then this woman escorted him out of the bar and was going back to his hotel room with him. And at 1:30 in the morning, she was seen on videotape, which the police reviewed and reported the following facts about. She was fine. She wasn't stumbling. He looked drunk. And security had been called on him because they had some sort of a fight at 1:30 in the morning out by the pool that led two hotel guests to call and say, could you quiet them down? Now, first of all, that's totally inappropriate. She told cops they were arguing over his treatment of women. What? You're supposed to be his handler for the conference and you're getting into a personal argument with him over his treatment of women? So loud and belligerent that hotel guests are calling security? You crossed a line. You're behaving inappropriately, madam. She says, and so do the other guests that saw her in the bar beforehand, that she had one drink, one champagne. The police say, and an eyewitness who saw her in the bar, two eyewitnesses who saw her in the bar, and the hotel security guy who came to tell them to be quiet by the pool, all say she was fine. She wasn't intoxicated. She wasn't stumbling. She wasn't slurring. Pete was drunk. She was fine. The videotape then shows them leaving the pool and going back to his hotel. And it shows them approaching the pool from 1:15 a.m. to 1:30 a.m. Their arms are locked, like a boyfriend and girlfriend might be. She's smiling. She does not appear drunk. So as 1:15 and then 1:30, she's locking arms with him. She's smiling. She does not appear drunk to four witnesses who lay eyes on her, either in person or via videotape, including the police. She goes back to his hotel room sometime between 1:30 and 2 a.m. She is texting her husband during this time. Mm-hmm. She sounds totally fine in these texts. She does not sound like she is intoxicated or out of her mind at all. And then the texts shut down and she has an unaccounted for period from 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. The husband calls her twice during that time period. The husband gets out of bed to go check the hotel bar, looking for his wife, wondering where the hell she is. There's no one in the bar called Knuckles in the Hyatt Regency. He goes back home to the room. At 3:40, he tries her again. He says she arrives back home to the hotel room at 4 a.m. She's fine. She's not stumbling. She's not slurring. When was she drugged? When was she drugged? Did Pete get her back to the hotel room? Slip her a Mickey at 2 a.m., take advantage of her, and then at 4 a.m., got her back to her hotel room, totally fine? Because the witnesses before and after the time frame say she was fine.
Got to run.
A coworker the next day said she wasn't hungover.
So there you go. I just wanted you to see this timeline. And this is the problem with all of these cases. And I could go over them, and it's, oh, man, is it really already 10:06?
Yes.
Holy moly, man. What happened to the time? I'm supposed to be off at 10. But anyway, this is what happens with all of these cases. And let's go over them, shall we? Briefly. And then we're going to go timeline on the Pete Hegseth accusation. But whether it's Anita Hill, because it's all the same, Christine Blasey Ford, who got a $600,000 PayPal payout for testifying against Brett Kavanaugh, or E. Jean Carroll with Donald Trump. And now with this woman who still is nameless, and believe me, as soon as she's not, we'll put it out. But anyway, because she's a bold-faced liar. But anyway, no date. Now you have a date here because you have video. So I mean, again, but all these other cases, there's no date or time. There's no date. There's no time. There's no evidence. There's no witnesses. There's no DNA. There's no corroborating evidence. There's no for witnesses or against witnesses. There is nothing. And these people are still prosecuted? They changed the statute of limitations in New York City so that Donald Trump can be civilly sued for rape. They changed the actual statute of limitations. Who pays for that? A person on the Epstein client list pays for that. And then sue Donald Trump for rape at that point. But Annie Jean Carroll never called the cops. There's no witnesses. She has no date, no time, no year, nothing. No evidence, no witnesses, no corroborating evidence, no DNA, no videos, nothing. And somehow Donald Trump is found guilty. It's the same thing with the 34 felony convictions, which make absolutely no sense. And that's the problem with our criminal justice system. Oh, Donald Trump, what was the crime that you committed? Well, I designated my payment to Stormy Daniels as a personal law expense, a personal lawyer expense. How else would you designate it? But he committed a crime because he didn't put it down as a campaign finance expense. Of course, if he would have put it in the campaign finance category, he would have been criminally tried for putting it there instead of his personal finances. It's the problem with where we're at. And all you idiot Democrats. Oh, look at Donald Trump's a convicted felon in a blue under a blue judge, blue jury, blue jurisdiction, blue grand jury, blue appellate court. And you honestly think that you've got a trophy. You have nothing. We are aware of all of this. But again, all of this is the same. And here we have the latest. Matt Gaetz, the same thing. Where's the date, time? The only person arrested in the Matt Gaetz case was the person trying to conduct the extortion scheme, spending 11 years in federal prison right now, who has ties to the FBI. That's the only person. That man went to Matt Gaetz's. You're like, back to Gaetz. I know. I just can't get over. I'm sorry. I'm heartbroken. I'm heartbroken. But anyway, the man with ties to the FBI goes to Matt Gaetz's dad and says, oh, you know what? We have evidence that your son had sex with a 17-year-old, and we want $25 million. And that's Matt Gaetz reported himself. Not that he had sex or sex trafficked a kid. He reported this to the FBI. His dad did, and Matt Gaetz did, and his dad did. And the FBI put his dad on a wire. Had his dad wear a wire. And the only person that's been criminally charged in this case is the person who made the accusation. That's it. And Democrats walk around. It's so sad that we've given them. I mean, Elizabeth Warren came out on Twitter. That's one down. That's what she said on Twitter. Why would anybody? Listen, for me, I'm fighting to the absolute metaphorical freaking death before I let Liz Warren defeat me. Come on. Let's get some fire. And now they're turning all their attention on Peggy Hegseth. I thought they'd be satisfied with Gaetz. No. And if they get Hegseth, they'll go after Gabbard. That's just the way. Everyone thinks that if you yield, they're going to stop. You yield, it makes it worse. Let me ask you something. If one fish dies, if you're dealing with a shark attack situation, a feeding frenzy, is it better when the one fish yields? No. Now they go into a frenzy because there's what in the water, Aaron?
Blood.
There you go.
Yep.
You don't want to put the blood in the water because then they go into a frenzy. And now they're going after Pete Hegseth. Matt Gaetz should have at least stuck it out and fought. Stick it out and fight and get a recess appointment. Or get an acting appointment, an interim appointment. Come on. Just don't get it. Honestly, it just drives me nuts. So Pete Hegseth, this woman claims, now they're all at, this is a sad thing, this is why. Let me just digress on this for just a moment. It's actually not a digress, it's ingress, but this is why you have to have Jesus.
Yep.
Because here they are at a Republican thing, and everybody's banging each other and getting drunk. Okay, Trump is great. I love that we've won. You know, I love Pete Hegseth. I love Matt Gaetz, Tulsi Gabbard, RFK Jr., Elon Musk. I love them all, but ain't one of them Jesus. And if you want to live right, you got to get under the power of the Holy Ghost. There ain't one of us that's not an adulterer. I mean, some of us have committed a physical adultery. Some of us haven't. Adultery, anything that is not, Romans chapter 14, verse 23, everything that does not come from faith is sin. And we're actually all called adulterers against God. So we all have an adulterous spirit. The only way to get that thing contained is to receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. You can be as pro-gun as you want to be. That's not going to send you to heaven. Pro-Trump as you want to be, you're not going to go to heaven. You're not going to be successful on earth either. Got to get right with God through repentance of your sin and acceptance of Jesus as Lord and Savior. And then he'll empower you not to get in the situation that Pete Hegseth is in, because, you know, where would he, if he didn't do this, there'd be no accusation, right? And Pete Hegseth has been married before. I don't know if he was married at the time or whatever. Great warrior, great hero, but he's not Jesus. So everyone make sure that your savior is not the Republican Party. I just lost 11 views because I'm preaching Jesus now. Or maybe it's because it's 10-12 on a Friday night. I don't know. But anyway.
Probably that.
I'll just, it couldn't be they're not entertained. It couldn't be that, right? I guess I'll close with this. Freaking crap. I have so much to talk about. I got FBI stuff. I got FBI scandal that's freaking through the roof, man. Through the roof about J6. I mean, oh my, man. All right, whatever. Let me go over Pete Hegseth. So she says that she was slipped. It's a roofie, right, Aaron? Is that the date rape drug?
Yeah.
She was slipped a roofie. That she was slipped a date rape drug. Well, okay. When? Go. If you're gonna do the wrap up smear Pelos, if you're gonna do the wrap up smear Swallows well, then you might want to have a timeline that actually makes sense, right? If you're gonna falsely accuse somebody, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter if you're accused. They'll bankrupt you using the accusation. And persecution via prosecution. The prosecution is the punishment. Now he gets labeled somebody who's been accused of a sexual offense. You do know, and you can ask the other cop in the room sitting over here. I'll ask him right now. Put him on. Have you ever dealt with a woman, Brent, who lied about being sexually assaulted?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, me too. We all have. You know what you don't do? Believe every woman. You investigate every allegation. You don't believe every woman. I didn't think I'd be yelling so much tonight, man. But anyway, just all fired up about this. So, and I hate false accusations.
Yeah.
So she slipped the date rape drug. When? Because we have, guess what they have in this case? Video cameras. Oh. So she leaves the bar with him arm in arm. When was date rape drug put in? Because as far as I'm concerned, if you're under the influence of date rape drug, you ain't walking out. That's Bill Cosby's way.
True.
You're not walking out. Okay. That's unconscious. So that Billy can do whatever Billy wants to do. So, and she's seen in the bar flirting. She's a married woman flirting and touching him. She escorts him out of the bar. He's drunk. She's not. She's had one drink, according to multiple witnesses. One drink, according to multiple witnesses. She had one drink. She was flirting with him. Where's the abuse? She had one drink and somehow Hegseth, while in a drunk condition, brought roofies with him. And put it in, is it because she's trying to cover up her own adultery? Or just trying to get a payday after losing her husband, maybe because he divorced her after the adultery, whatever. So she escorts him out the bar. At 1:30 in the morning, you have this timeline here. Between 1:30 and 2 o'clock in the morning, she's fine. There, she's all over video cameras. This is 2022 or something like that. 2021, 2022. She's drunk. She's not drunk. She's fine. She's on video cameras, smiling, having a great time. They end up at the pool where they have some sort of verbal altercation where the security actually has to arrive. But then they happily leave the pool area around 1:30 and go to Pete's room. Okay, people might not like this, but you know what? At 2 o'clock in the morning, if you're going to somebody's room that's not your spouse, maybe you need to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, and avoid all appearance of evil, right? But we all know what was going on there. So she goes into Pete's room unassisted. She wasn't being dragged in. And she, while she's in Pete's room, and I know this is gross, and you want to talk about like cuckboy stuff, I know. While she's in Pete's room, she's texting her husband. And then lo and behold, at 2 o'clock, she goes radio silent. Ugh. So we all know now at 2 o'clock, she's fine. 2 o'clock, all the way up 2 o'clock, she's fine. She reports back to her husband's room at 4. Perfectly fine. How was she ever drugged? She was somehow drugged at 2 and then perfectly fine at 4? And Pete Hegseth is being accused of sexually assaulting this woman? Absolute freaking lies. And the reason why they've turned up the heat on Hegseth is because they already got Gates and they spilled his blood in the water. It's a shame. All right, that's good. 10:17. Gosh, dog it. I have so much more to say. Oh, man. Lots of Rumble rants tonight. Thank you guys so much. Seriously, I'm looking at you right now. Everybody, thank you for being here. 981 people on a Friday night at 10:17 with a loudmouth chubby dude screaming at you for an hour and 17 minutes, with the exception of Sheriff Mack when he was on. He was very sweet. Tammy L. Margritter, order in the court. Nitsua $99, hassle-free TV, Chopper Super Nut, Buckeye Nut 1968, all gave $10. Thank you, guys. Now, listen, I'll be in the chat during the postgame. Postgame's all positive tonight. Not one negative thing in there, I don't think. It's really good. It's really, really good. Stick around for it. It's short. It's positive. Listen, done a lot of tearing you down. Now, I'm going to build you back up via the postgame. Are you ready? Also, don't forget, let's break our record. 712 people is our record on Sunday morning at Foundation Church. Join us Sunday morning. Foundation Church starts at 10 o'clock Eastern time. Aaron will take the stage around 10:15 and be leading worship. I'll come on the stage 11:05, and if Aaron doesn't keep blithering on the stage, leading worship. But anyway, Brent's wife's often on the stage too. So lots of people, lots of familiar faces, sort of, at least see me and Aaron for sure. But anyway, join us again. I'm not going to belabor the point. Trump's not the savior. Jesus is. We love him. He's our favorite president. He's the greatest president of all time, of the order of Abraham Lincoln, if not even better. He is, but he's not going to get you to heaven. He's a human being, a flawed human being, just like the rest of us. All right, I love you. Join us on church on Sunday. Make this your home church. I don't care where you live. I don't care if you're in downtown Sydney, Australia. If all the churches around you suck, which they usually do, join us. Just become a part of Foundation Church. And you can actually be a part of it. Really can be a part of it. You really can. Love you. Appreciate you. I'll be in the chat. Stick around for the postgame. All positive. Building you back up. Have a great week. I'll either see you Monday, just so you know, we're having an abbreviated week next week, Thanksgiving, right?
Yep.
Thanksgiving week. So we're on Monday, Tuesday. We're going to be off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But we're strong Monday, Tuesday. We're strong Monday, Tuesday. And I always kind of plan at the back of Aaron's mind, you know, maybe. You never know if I decide to do Friday. You know, if I just something happens and I got to do it, I'm going to call Aaron and see if he wants to do it.
The only way we won't is if I leave. That's it.
He usually does. He usually does. But the great thing is now.
Yeah, I can't.
Put yourself back on. Put yourself back on. Yeah. The great thing now is Aaron's got a baby.
I do.
So now I hook him.
Yep.
Yeah, Brent's got babies too. He can't leave. Yep. Brent can't leave either.
Yep.
He's stuck here with me.
We're both stuck.
Stuck here with me. That's right. Screaming, frothing at the mouth. My wife told me that last night. Man, you did a lot of screaming during that podcast. You know what I mean? But anyway, so you never know. If it goes really bad, you may see me on Friday. But right now, we're not. We'll be off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Enjoy it. Join us to church on Sunday. Love you guys. If I don't see you on Sunday, I'll call you out on Sunday. I won't be able to see you, but I'll call you out anyway. But if I don't see you then, I'll see you Monday night, 9 o'clock. Love you all. God bless you. See you sometime soon. Bless you.
2 Corinthians 8:9. He became poverty so that you could become rich. And then Christians think that it's an attribute to be poor. That's like saying that it's an attribute to become sin because he became sin. Well, you just want to feed the world. How are you going to feed the world when you're broke? Wouldn't you rather, instead of signing up for a dollar a day to save this or that, wouldn't you rather save an entire village by giving them 5 million? Well, we have all of that. The cattle upon 1,000 hills and all wealth is his. Romans chapter 8, 16 and 17. Join heirs with him. Therefore, what does heir mean? Inheritance. It's yours. And it's not yours in heaven. It's yours now. Nobody ever believes it. Because they've been ingrained into believing that poverty is a Christian attribute. It is not. If you don't want it, give it away and let God make you a continuous conduit of cash.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.